Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Joe, are you sports superstitious? You know, like if you do something and it turns out your team wins, okay, you know what? I think maybe that's, or something good happens during the game you're watching. Okay, maybe I need to do this. Sit here, go somewhere, whatever.
It's hot and cold for me. Sometimes I feel like I am like rolling my eyes at that, and other times I wear the same hoodie. Three Bills wins in a row. I gotta wear that hoodie again.
Yes. I'm kind of the same way. I'm not very superstitious, but I can be it if it warrants it in some capacity. I think about that. Like, you know, Bills games, on the road, like maybe how I maybe do certain things at timing in the hotel in the morning and how the game turns out or something like that. That might happen. So last night, though, here's the point. I mean, it's 2-0. The Sabres just killed the power play, or maybe they had a power play killed. It was middle third period. And I'm like, all right, I've stayed up. They're not coming back. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to bed.
Yep.
I turn off the TV, walk upstairs, and by the time I got up there, they scored a goal. I missed it, the first goal.
But you knew what happened?
I opened the phone up just before I went to bed. I wanted to turn on my alarm, and I'm like, oh, let me just... I didn't care that I... Like, it wasn't like, I'll wake up in the morning and I don't want to know anything.
Yeah.
It was more of, let me just kind of open up the app to make sure nothing happened. And sure enough, it did. It happened literally like 10 seconds after I turned off the TV. It must have. Because it shows up on my app. I'm like, okay. Now it's 2-1. There's 9 minutes left. And I'm thinking, do I turn it on now? Do I turn it back on TV? Do I watch the end? Or do I get superstitions and say, you know what? I turned it off and they scored.
You keep it off?
And I kept it off.
Hmm.
I said, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm not going to watch it now.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll score again. And I'll wake up. And I see they win 3-2 in overtime or something.
Yeah.
So I did not. I have
now here off.
At 10:07 a.m. here on Wednesday morning, I still have not seen the two Dahlin goals. But I know they lost 3-2 because I got up and I looked.
First one was really nice.
Was it?
You should take a look at the first one at some point. The first one's really nice.
I have not seen either of them.
Yeah. They you would have been frustrated then probably because you know what probably would have happened? So if you had turned it back on, they would have been 2-1, and you would have watched to see if they could tie it, and then you probably would have watched till the empty net goal,
So the third goal by Vancouver was an empty netter?
Was an empty netter.
I'm learning all this right now. Yeah. I know they lost 3-2. I know Darlene scored twice. I have no idea the circumstances of any of this.
So this is how this would have gone had you turned the game back on. You turned it off. You missed the first Darlene goal. Oh, I missed it. You would have turned it back on. You would have watched the next 8 minutes of hockey as they try to tie the game. Granato pulls the goalie with 2:30 left on the clock. I believe they let the empty net goal in with about 2 minutes left.
Okay.
So with 2 minutes left, what would you probably have done then? You probably would have turned the game off, right? 3-1, they just scored the empty net goal. Then Darlene scored again. So, and then what you probably would have done
Go ahead. Did they have Levi pulled when he scored the second goal?
They pulled him again.
Okay.
Yep, down two.
So they're, and he scored they have with a 6-5 man advantage. Basically, yep. And they score again. Okay.
To make it 3-2.
And I think there's still time left, right?
There would have been like 30 seconds left.
Oh, okay, okay.
So you probably, if you had turned it back on, my guess is you would have ended up seeing all three Canucks goals and neither of the Sabre goals.
You're probably right, because I would have turned it back off. That's right.
Right, and then you would have missed the second Darlene goal. Then you'd be like, all right, I can turn it back on, and then they would have lost.
Yeah. Are you, you blame Levi for that first goal?
The one that got reviewed?
Yes.
No, because I thought it should have been overturned.
Interesting. I don't know. Like, what's the consensus on that? I didn't, like, check social media. One of the cool things about actually them playing late, to be quite honest with you, it forces me. I actually get work done. I stay up late to watch the game and sit with my laptop and get stuff done. I'm like, okay, I have a reason to stay up late. I'll watch the game and I'll get work done. So because of that, I wasn't on social media a lot last night. I don't know what people were saying about the review. What was the consensus?
I actually didn't see what the consensus was either. I did the thing again this morning where I did not.
Okay.
I went to bed right as the game started, woke up 4 o'clock in the morning, threw the treadmill on again, the computer. I watched the game. So I was not on social media watching it. My take, though, watching it live and still not knowing, I guess, what people thought of it, was that he had the puck on his pad. His blocker was kind of over top of it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it wasn't frozen, but that the reason the puck goes in the net is because the player's stick pushes his pad. That's why.
That's the reason why
the puck goes in. So to me, if the core reason the puck is in the net is not because the guy shot the puck, it's because he pushed the goalie in or moved the goalie towards the goal line and into the net, that means to me it should be overturned. So you could blame Levi for not freezing it, I guess. You could blame Levi for letting the puck sit there on the goal line like that. But I don't think that goal should have counted, if you're asking me.
If I remember correctly, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, I think Rob Ray basically said, but it kind of went in before he did that. Like, it was already in before he pushed the pad in with his stick.
I'll have to look again because I didn't
Ray,
see that.
Ray was indicating on the broadcast, at least it sounded to me, and maybe I didn't get clarity, I said I was doing work. It sounded to me like he was saying, well, the puck was already in before that happened, so they're probably not, this is going to stand. And then it did stand, and that's why, I'm assuming. Actually, I'm wondering. I don't remember, and I didn't look at what people were saying last night, so tell us what you think now at Sal Sports, at Sneaky Joe Sports. We can get connected with our fans by asking you a simple question. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Should the first goal have counted? Was it a good review? Was it a good call after the review? Was it a bad call after the review? Give us a shout here on X, on Twitter, and let us know. Because, like I said, I did not consume what people were talking about with it last night. If people said it was a bad call, a good call, you're rewatching it now.
But I'm watching it now. I guess I see what I did not see. This is why social media can actually be helpful.
Because
you can notice things that you didn't pick up on. And I did not pick up on the puck and like when it crosses the line. Because it's kind of blending in with the skate. And you can kind of see it start to dribble through. But I still think that it's not fully across the line until his pad is pushed. So it's very, very close. That being said, though, Levi was awesome last night. Like, he was moving well. I thought he bailed them out in a bunch of bad spots. I thought the Canucks could have easily had 4 or 5 goals in that game. Levi, one of the advanced numbers for goaltending, goals saved above expected, he saved 3.7 goals above expected last night. Like, by that number at least, Vancouver should have scored, like, 4 goals, 5 goals. without including the empty netter. And Levi, I thought, stopped a bunch of pucks that easily could have gone in. So I thought he did a tremendous job in his return to the net. I thought he gave them, I thought he was the only reason they were in the hockey game right to the end.
Jeremy said it best this morning. He wrote about it, which is the frustrating thing about this club is all they needed last year was a little better goaltending. Not only did they get a little better, they got a lot better goaltending this year. They've had really exceptional goaltending this year. Some of the best goaltending in the league overall this year. Yeah. I don't know if the numbers say that. I think they do. They're in top 10 in a lot of the metrics and UPL is and all that. And yet here we are. I mean, that's the frustrating part about this season. Like the one thing you said all year last year, geez, if they could just get some goaltending, this team's ready to win.
Yeah.
They got the goaltending.
Right.
They're losing. Losing, right? They're still not in the playoffs.
Right. I think that's going to be the more frustrating part of this offseason. Is last offseason, it was easy. Everyone knew what they needed. They just needed better goaltending. That was it. That was it. You could have said, you know, another top four defenseman that would have been talked about a lot, adding to the blue line. But the overall was, hey, you're good. You just need better goaltending. That's it. And you're a playoff team. This year, not the same answer. Probably not a consensus. What do they need? What do they need to get better at? Roster-wise, what do they need? Again, last year, everyone knew. They've got to get better goaltending. This year, the hard part is what you need is you need a number one center. And you can't get those. You need to cross your fingers and hope and pray that Tage Thompson returns to what he did last year. Because otherwise, you don't have a number one center. And that, I think, is where this year, the conversation about what they need is going to be a little darker and a little scarier than I think last year was. Because you can find goaltending, and you get goaltending like this, and you had Levi. Levi was hope. Now, that has not fully turned out, but Levi was hope. And they've achieved that goal in-house, which I did not expect, but they did. I don't know if they'll achieve that goal in-house again this year, even though it's a different goal.
Okay, so when you say need to find a number one center, this is really interesting to me because
I don't find. I think they need a number one center. It could be one of the guys on the team
now. Okay. They need someone to play like a number one center.
Yes, absolutely.
Because, Joe, do you really think Kevin Adams doesn't think that's Tage Thompson? You know what I mean? Like, I understand. I'm sure Kevin Adams right now is thinking, I need the same thing you just said. I need Tage Thompson to be Tage Thompson. I need him to be the guy we're paying him to be, and he was last year. But do you really, like, if you ask Kevin Adams and you gave him truth serum and said, like, do you think the number one center on your team going forward is on your roster right now?
Yeah.
He's going to say no? I think he says yes.
I think he says yes. I don't think it's a choice, though. Like, he kind of has to say yes. Not, and I'm not even just mean because, like, that's how the media game is played. He has to say yes because what other choice do you have? You don't just get number one centers. That you can't just get that. You can't trade for that. You're not going to be able to draft that.
How about
and
this?
Have that right away.
What if you asked him, are you confident Tage Thompson is a true number one center? What do you think he would say?
I think he'd say yes, but okay. I think, again, with truth serum, I think, you know, it wouldn't be 100%. How could it be? He's in three, and I'm not even saying he has to be a bad player. He's got 20 goals this year. He had 38 goals 3 years ago, and I didn't think he played like a number one center that year. He was great, but he just didn't have the assist numbers for what we're talking about as like a true elite number one center. So in the 3 years Thompson has played that position, you know, in a very generalized way of putting it, I think he played like a very good number two center for one of those years. This year, I feel like he's kind of fell short of the mark on all accounts. And then one of those other years, he was one of the best centers in the sport. I have no idea what he's going to look like next year. I feel like, you know, Adams would have confidence. I'm sure Granato would have confidence. He can return to what he did, but I don't know how you predict what he looks like next year. It could look like anything to me. He could be back to MVP candidate, or he could be, you know, 30 goal scorer, not a lot of assists. I don't know what you're going to get.
And that is part of the job of the GM, a big part, which is predicting where these players will be and what their jump is. And that's the same thing we talk about in football. Right? Like, this was the discussion with AJ Epenesa whenever I'd say he's an ascending player. Brandon Bean has to determine, okay, is there more there? Can I pay him? Because we think we're going to get more out of him. This is what Kevin Adams has to determine this offseason, which is I have to predict if Tage Thompson is going to be that guy I'm paying for. And maybe he'd surprise me and he would say no. I think that the way that they've treated him, how they paid him, unless they've had some sort of reversal of course because of this year, I think they probably are pretty confident. And
right.
as much as you say, and I agree with you, it's hard to do. I think even beyond that, I don't even think he's going to try to do it. If he could try to do it.
That's a good question. Like, if one of those, and those guys don't become available, like Eichel did, and that's
right.
kind of it. Like, wingers like that can become available, but centers, it's so rare. It depends, I guess, what they think the reason is for this season. Like, why
right.
why has this happened? Do they know something we don't? Do they know? Because this has been speculated about. I get the question, I feel like, every other day. Like, is he injured? Because he falls down all the time. The skating doesn't look the same. The shot isn't as consistent as it was last year. Like, and there was an injury in the winter, in December, I think. And then there was a game he missed recently, too. Like, there's some reason to believe it's an injury, but we don't know what it is. Do they have, they would have more information on that. They would know. They would know exactly what it is. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe it's just he hasn't been truly healthy all season. That could just be the answer. It depends. If that's the answer, then I think they would absolutely say, yeah, he can absolutely return to what he was 2 years ago. At the same time,
by the way, I'm sure we'll get that as part of the answer at the end of the year. Like, yeah. that's going to be some of the talking point, which is, well, you know, he battled through injuries.
I'm sure.
We'll hear that. We hear that anyway about him and other guys.
I also think it's possible they don't know why. If it's not injury, I mean, what would you point to? Like, I don't know what you would point to. Like, how do you... I'm sure Granato would dive into the film and figure out, like, okay, what was different? Like, what was it, the player usage? Was it how teams were defending him? He has not been moving with speed as much as he was last year. That was a big key to a lot of those skilled goals that he would score. You know, the power play was stagnant all year long, no one moving around, so teams knew they could cover Tage that way, where they just had to sit on his side of the ice and not let him get one-timers. You know, like, what are the adjustments to getting him back to what he was? Like, I don't know that I have a clear understanding of, like, what has truly happened that has made him regress in such a spectacular way. Because, again, like, I that's a good question. Like, would they try if a center like that became available? Again, I kind of think it's a pointless exercise because a guy like that's not going to become available.
Even if he did, I mean,
you know your alternative. If Thompson's never going to return to what he was last year, say that we knew that was the case. He's going to be a 30 goal scorer forever, which is going to be a very good number two. But to be a true contender, you probably have to have a guy above him. The only way you're getting that is if one of these four prospect centers right. they have ascends above him. And that's not impossible. I mean, Savoy was a top 10 pick. Kulik has had great development so far. Oslin had a great World Juniors. You know, there's guys in the system. But your odds aren't great.
They're not all centers, though.
Those three are. Roseanne's the one.
Rosine, okay, you're right. Okay.
So you have a shot at it, but your odds aren't great of finding some, you know, a guy that you would go look up the top 20 centers in the league. NHL Network ranks them every summer. Like, are the Sabres going to have a guy on that list? Because to be a contender, you probably have to have a guy on that list.
It's fascinating how this offseason is going to play out, because part of it is, in order to get that guy, Joe, you're also moving significant pieces off your roster. I mean, that's right. what you'd have to do. I'm not saying it's not worth it. You might need to do that at the end of the day. But, man, Kevin Adams has some really interesting choices. And, I mean, you could even argue that maybe he's not the guy to make those choices. I don't know. I've seen that a lot, because how long he's been tenured, how long Granato's been tenured. Here they are, still trying to make the playoffs. They haven't done it. Working on year 13, by the way. 13.
Yep.
NHL, same number NHL of years record. As the Jets, right? New York Jets?
Yes. Yeah. NHL record. It's never been done before. I mean, really, what is almost certainly going to happen, and I'm not even arguing they should do anything different. Again, I don't really know what you're supposed to do different. They're going to run it back. They're going to run it back. I think the answer at the end of the day, and this might frustrate people, because it will be it'll be labeled as patience. Like, it will be a patient type of approach. The only way to really go forward, and the only thing I expect them to do, is to sit there and say, listen, we're going to run it back, and we're going to get better play from Thompson and Cousins. Like, those two that have scored 35 goals for them this year. Like, we're going to get 70 from them next year. We're going to get 80 from them next year.
That would be a really interesting message after the entire offseason leading into this season was, we're ready to win. Let's go. Right? Like, if you talk about patience, right, and we'll run it back and...
Patience with those two, though. Like, specifically, I mean.
Right.
Because they've committed to them.
Like, oh, yeah.
They have already bought in. Like, this can be our 1-2 center punch. We can be a great hockey team with Thompson, Cousins, 1-2.
Last year it looked like
that was the case.
They have committed to them, but not to the types of contracts that are completely avoidable for other teams.
That's true. Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. $14 million.
If you had to move off of one, we've had this conversation with Paul, who's untouchable. Nobody. The only person I wouldn't touch, Paul says, is Dahlin. That's fine. Okay. Well, if you want to envision a scenario where the team says you want it, you got to give us one of these guys. Okay.
Right.
Guess what? I think a team would take that.
They're not on bad contracts.
Right.
They make a combined $14.2 million.
Right.
I mean, that they have going for them. Like, they're paid more like number two centers. Neither of them are being paid like a number one. So if you want to, if someday down the road they want to make a decision like that, where, hey, we got to get better here, we think we have a chance here to do that, there's a monster whale on the market, and we've got to move one of these guys as a part of that package, they have contracts that are, I think, very tradable. But
I don't know this answer. Maybe you've looked it up. Maybe you haven't. I'm not suggesting this is the best way to build your team. I know Paul hates it. Are there any? What's the free agent landscape look like? Is there somebody out there this year that is going to get that kind of love and say that's a transformational? It happens
I don't
a little.
Think so.
It happens
rarely. Stamkos, remember, almost hit the market. Tavares did once. I think you're once every 5 years, maybe. That might even be a little aggressive. I don't think
the
that
only
really
person
happens.
I'm looking at here is Lindholm.
Lindholm, yep. He's very good.
Yep,
he's very good, but he's not a number one center,
right? That's not the kind of guy you're talking about here.
I mean, really, it's got to be them.
And
it's
let's be honest,
be them.
Joe, by the way, Stamkos is a free agent again this year. He is.
He's playing wing much more at this point in his career.
Mm-hmm. He's 34 now.
He's great. I mean, I don't expect that they'll get him, but yeah, you could do that and put him back at center. But short of that, there isn't an idea. You're not doing anything. You need these two to be better. That's it.
And let's be honest, Joe, if they spend free agent dollars, it's going to be on a defenseman. Right?
No? You think?
Yes.
Don't they have their top four locked in?
I think they're, and I'm not even, I guess the way I'd even rephrase that is not a ton of money, but to me, that's where they go shopping to add to their defense.
Maybe.
To add to
their
blue line.
I think they made their move already. Like, I think they're going in next year and it's Byram, Dahlin, Power, and Samuelson. Like,
I think
those are your four defensemen that are playing most of your minutes.
I mean,
I think.
It's not just Tage, right? It's Dylan Cousins, who I know he's been better as of late.
No, he's a part of it, too. He's 15 goals.
Power needs to be better, too.
Power, I've said this about Power. He is the ultimate for me. Like, got to trust the numbers. Close your eyes and trust the numbers. Because the numbers say he is very good and makes a strong impact, and he drives me nuts every time he plays. Every time the other night in Detroit, he is sitting there in the crease. The puck is laying behind the goaltender, and there is zero level of desperation to clear the puck out. There's a little quick swipe at it. Like, where is the desperation? Puck's in on the goal line. I've got to get this out of here at all costs. There are little things like that that drive me nuts for him, but I, again, close my eyes and just look at some of the charts that say he's a very good defenseman and that he'll go a lot higher. But I agree with you. Power, but that one, though, you would expect will get better. Right? Like,
yes.
He's so young and was drafted. Like, that will
this
happen.
And this is, there's, I can't tell you player by player. There's like historical evidence of guys in their second year who have a bit of a dip who then come back, right? I mean, after coming in as a rookie, playing a lot of games, and then.
Dahlin.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, Dahlin. Exactly right here in our own backyard, right? Look what he is right now. We did get a tweet in from Scar who says it was a weak play by Levi, the first goal. Stick poked puck. Did not push pad, but I agree with Sneaky Joe. He played very well other than that play. All right, there you go. How about Tim? I do not want to hear Adams or Granato talk about learning to deal with pressure and expectations. Those excuses are old and done. And that is true, Tim. That has been something that Don Granato has even said here on the air about learning to deal with it. But you're right. I mean, they basically said that's over with last year. And here we are hearing that sometimes again.
And that's, listen, end of season press conferences, when they almost certainly miss. They're 5%, according to Stathletes right now. So the 95% chance that they're going to sit there and have a postseason press conference where they miss the playoffs. I think what you probably are going to hear is that they're going to talk about dealing with pressure, young team. I think, like, what answer would suffice people? The answer would probably just be pretty direct of, you know, at least in this conversation, we're talking more about the centerman. Fans would probably want to hear Adam sit up there end of season and say, Tage and Cousins need to be better. Like, that's it. They need to be better.
Your best players need to play better.
And maybe he says that, right? I'm sure he wouldn't want to single out names.
Right.
That's what I think people are going to want to hear. I don't know that you're going to get it, but that's the answer. That's it. Like, that is the answer. You might hear some form of that. To me, like, the story of this season is going to be your goaltender got way better. Your blue line improved steadily as the year went along. You got Byram in the picture. You didn't make the playoffs because your centers did not suffice. They did not meet expectations. That's why you missed.
Kevin Cole is going to join us at 11:05. Kevin, formerly a PFF, but he hasn't been with them for a little while. He does Unexpected Points, actually. It's a podcast and newsletter. Really great stuff. He's with Roto Grinders. He's been grinding his way through the NFL, the offseason, the data, the free agency, the draft. We'll get with Kevin Cole at 11:05. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. We have open phone lines until then, 803-0550. When we come back, Joe, you and I had a debate last year, a couple years ago. We're on opposite sides of something, and you might be a little bit more right about something dealing with this particular controversial issue. I'll tell you that when we come back on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It took a while, actually, to kind of get used to it, because I feel like every quarterback's different. But with Josh, it was just, you know, having that in-game experience and just figuring out, you know, what he likes to do. And it doesn't matter where the hell you are. He'll throw the ball across his body, across the field. So it's still a work in progress.
Bills tight end Dalton Kincaid, he was on the Kay Adams show yesterday. Did he give us a little clue right there about why he didn't see the field as much, Joe? Did you listen to that? Took a little while for him to kind of learn how Josh operates back there, and you never know where you need to be and when you need to be there. And he said it's still a work in progress, but I think he gave us a little clue right there.
Yeah, especially since he is a player that you would think is more... what's the word I want here? He's more... he needs that chemistry with the quarterback.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's about feel. It's about, like, where to sit in a certain zone, like where the quarterback likes to throw the football. Because, I mean, that's kind of the type of player he is, isn't it? Is like connection with the quarterback.
Yes.
So, like, he's not just lining up against a guy and running past him. I mean, linebackers maybe. So yeah, maybe a little bit. Like, he's a feel player. He's a chemistry player, I think. So it would make sense that it would taken a little bit.
Yeah, it was interesting, him saying that, but...
I think there were points early in the season where Dawson Knox would get, like, Allen is under duress, the ball's got to come out, contested situation, where's the ball going? I think early in the season, there were a bunch of those types of plays to Knox. I think as the season went on, more and more, mm-hmm. Allen would throw that pass to Kincaid. Yeah. There was a pass on the sideline against Tampa where Allen was getting pressured and everyone was covered. He just kind of threw it up, and Kincaid made the catch. There was a play like that against the Chiefs, too, I think. So those types of passes, I think, are the ones I'm thinking about a lot for him.
Yeah, so we'll see where he grows and goes to year two. I mean, it is amazing to think about. People, I've read people, Bills fans, like kind of talk about Dalton Kincaid's pick last year and, oh boy, you know, and look at what Sam Laporta did, and Dalton Kincaid didn't become what like they thought he would. He had a historic season. Yes, I know Sam Laporta still had better stats. Both those guys literally had two of the best rookie seasons ever for their position in the history of the league. Don't get fooled by thinking Sam Laporta's season should take away from what Dalton Kincaid became last year for the Bills and the draft pick. They hit on that draft pick.
How much higher do you think he'll go this year?
I don't know how much more you can do. I mean, there's one ball to go around.
Yeah. But you would think...
But he's got to get more involved early, so you think that all that starts to add up.
I mean, you would think... I've made this point about the rookie idea a lot. Like, how many different players could finish second on the team in targets behind Diggs? And, like, that it's possible, Samuel and Kincaid are the top two, and then you could mention Shakir. And I've mentioned just the rookie just because you never know. Like, if you smash that pick and the rookie in camp is lighting it up and early in the season he's earning more and more, like, there are plenty of rookie receivers over time that have earned that much right away. So it's possible, even if it's not likely. Kincaid, though, like, I wonder, like, how much is in there? Can he be like an elite, one of the best tight ends in the sport? Because as someone that plays a lot of fantasy football, like I feel like he's starting to be drafted in those circles like someone that, hey, historically good rookie season and all this attention being paid to Laporta. Meanwhile, 73 catches, rookie tight end. That doesn't often happen.
No.
If there's more to come here, well, more to come is he's one of the best tight ends in the sport. And, you know, how much higher? Like, if he had 91 targets last year and there's any room for that to go up, like a 100-target tight end. Like, he's one of the stars in the league at that position, I feel like, if that happens.
Kevin Cole, we'll see if he has any thoughts on this. A lot of different stuff on the NFL, the draft, free agency, some analytics stuff. We'll dig into that with him at 11:05. Joe, 2 years ago, we both went to the NCAA tournament. We had a very interesting discussion. You basically said, I can't stand, I don't know if you said I can't stand, you did not understand the appeal of college basketball because of how boring or slow it is.
I like the NBA game itself more than the college game. Like the actual product, like the way the ball is, everything. The way
and
the
because they
play.
Just like, they had trouble scoring. Like it's like, what are you doing?
Well, that's pretty much
right?
It. Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of it. Okay, yeah. Well. And you know me, I love college basketball. I grew up watching college basketball. I actually prefer college basketball to the NBA game because I think to me, maybe, of course, I'm biased because I watched it growing up, but the charm of the game is you do have these guys who aren't just going to make it every time and you never know what's going to happen, right? So that's
and it's
what
and it's much more of a team-oriented game.
Like
so much of the NBA is, it is iso ball, get the ball to your best player and just let him go one-on-one.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, one of the best coaches in the sport is Tony Bennett. He coaches at Virginia. Tony Bennett's won a national championship. His team yesterday, they didn't have a great season, so they just got into the NCAA tournament. They were one of the final teams chosen in Selection Sunday. They got hammered yesterday by Colorado State in the play-in game, right? 2-10 seeds. 67-42. They lost by 25 points, okay?
They had 14 points in the second
42,
half.
42 total.
Yeah.
Right? 14 in the second half. Stephen A. Smith, of all people, Stephen A. Smith says some outlandish stuff, but I do think he makes a really interesting point here, and I want to talk about this. Stephen A. Smith said on Tony Bennett, quote, if it were me, I'd fire him, strictly because of being boring. Literally, I'm not questioning his ability to coach at all. He's a national champion, for crying out loud. But if you cannot be that boring and that unappealing for so long and get away with it. I think that's a really interesting quote because Mm-hmm. Normally, I look at that and go, just shut up. Like, Tony Bennett's a great coach. Why would you fire him if you're Virginia? Okay. But I want to go back to the way you described college basketball, and we debated this. And yeah. I would say the way the portal works now and guys wanting to go to different places,
yep.
I think there's more of an argument to say if you run that kind of offense
yeah.
and you're that boring, nobody wants to come play for you anymore. And okay. we have to right. figure out how we want to do this going forward. I love Tony Bennett. I want to make this clear. I think Tony Bennett, I mean, I'd take him at Syracuse tomorrow. I would. Right. I think, you know, because I think he's amazing what he does for the sport, what he does for kids, how smart he is. By the way, his dad is Dick Bennett, who's he's a very famous college basketball coach, Wisconsin Green Bay. His mm-hmm. His sister is Kate Bennett, I think is her name, but she used to be a coach in the MAC. Very big coaching family. They're very smart. But I do think there's an argument here to be made for, hey, in this day, in this era, it's not about come here, you're going to learn to play defense, we're going to really work hard, work together, and build it up. You have his reference page open.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
They were the first team to ever lose to a 16 as a one seed. The next year, they won the national championship. Right. Okay? After that, they've now bowed out very early in the tournament. Last year, Joe, they lost to Furman as a 4 seed. Furman was a 13.
Yeah.
This year, they're out by 25. Again, I'm closer now to at least thinking about the way that I perceive the job of a college basketball coach and what it should be.
Okay. I like this. This is the long my line of thinking, especially I didn't think about the transfer portal portion of that because that's something like a Don Granato comments coming to my mind of like players will want to play for you if you play an exciting style. Like what do they enjoy more? They like using their skill. They like using their speed. They like, you know, they want to have fun scoring. So now that you're in the transfer portal era of college basketball, right, like you would tend to think that a coach that's going to let you breathe a little bit more, it's going to get the most out of you offensively, like that's the type of team you're going to want to play for. And if you're a good enough player to think about your career in the NBA, listen, we just talked about the NBA, like so much of it is iso ball and it's skill and it's scoring nonstop. If you want to go to the NBA, you probably want a coach that's going to get the most out of you offensively, I think. Like I'm thinking of Nate Oates right now. Nate Oates at Alabama, they have the best offense in the country.
Right.
At least by, I don't know if the total scoring. I know ESPN had a thing earlier, like their power index or whatever. Mm-hmm. Alabama's the best offense in the country. And he's turned that program into something that I don't ever remember it being. And isn't a big part of that because they just score all the time.
It's the way it was at UB. They scored. They ran up and down. Mm-hmm. They were athletic. That's right. Now, they can have times, and I think they're better defensively, but there's been times where maybe that can beat you, you know, defensively, but you're right. I think we have to have some space now to think about that, and it sucks. It sucks for someone like me who's a college sports purist, and you see this happening, yeah. and you're like, okay, but gone are the days of you get these kids in, they work for 4 years, they become a team, and you grow in, we're going to make it really tough on you on defense. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they're not even that great on defense this year, Virginia, to be quite honest with you. Yeah. But they can't score. Their offense has never changed. It's super boring. And you got to think about it. I went to a talk one time to hear Urban Meyer when he was coaching at Florida, and they were winning national championships. I was living down there. I was coaching high school football. They have these clinics where the college coaches talk to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Urban Meyer is in front of all these high school coaches, like 200 people in the room. And he says, you know, and you remember, Joe, at the time, that was like a really, it was like Chris Leak was there. This is even before Tebow. And they're doing all this weird stuff. And they're doing all kind of read option and things you hadn't seen before. It's not, you know, old Nebraska wishbone.
Yeah.
But here's what he said. Urban Meyer says, you know, everybody wants to know about my offense. How do you run my offense? He goes, guys, I run the wishbone. We're like, get out. You do not run the wishbone. What are you talking about? He goes, no, I do. He goes, what happened was, this is Urban, this is a great story from Urban Meyer. He goes, I was coaching at Bowling Green. I mean, I was coaching and I grew up in the wishbone era. My dad was a coach. I love the wishbone. I get the head job at Bowling Green. Nobody wants to watch you run the wishbone anymore. This is early 2000s,
yeah.
1990s. I can't run the wishbone. I'm going to get fired. If I run that boring offense, I'm getting fired and no one's going to come play for me.
Right.
He goes, so I had to figure out a way to run what I wanted to run, but make it look exciting. I just put the quarterback in shotgun. Nobody realized it was a wishbone. All the blocking is still the wishbone. All the backfield action is wishbone. Yeah. And now I figured out, oh yeah, now I got another guy to play with because my quarterback is in shotgun.
Right.
He replaces a running back. I can move a guy around and now it opened up my offense. But it's the wishbone. And I'm like, holy cow, that's amazing. Yeah. Right? But he said it. He said, I can't run this boring offense. I'll get fired. I can't run this boring offense. No one's going to play for me. This is in the early 2000s.
Wow. And here's 2024, and it's, you know, you see it. It's not like Tony Bennett's the only one, I'm sure.
Correct.
But it's an interesting point. I mean, it's a lot of style of play versus winning and how long your rope is if you start not winning and you play that type of style. And that again, like, I'm not a huge college basketball fan, so my comparisons for this are going to be like hockey. Think of the Tortorellas, the Barry Trotzes, the old school veteran coaches that play a lockdown defensive style. Aren't those often the coaches where you hear the message got stale? What does message got stale mean? A lot of times it's you're just so hard on being so stout defensively and responsibilities. Like I feel, at least in hockey, I don't, maybe this is true in all sports, that line of thinking is when you start to hear message got stale.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And it's something that I do think that coaches, look, we can all hate it. I hate it. Maybe you love it. I'm all for giving opportunities and money to the system, the kids, they're not getting it. I get all that. But man, there's something to be said for also, you know, here, I guess my bottom line point on this would be, we don't have to love it, but this is the way it is now. So you're not going to put the tube back in the toothpaste like we said yesterday when we had who we have on our guest, Zach from CBS Sports. It's the way it's going to be. So, Joe, today, as of right now, 589 names in the portal. It's going to keep growing every time a team loses in the tournament. Watch what happens.
Oh, there's going to be a flood of them after the first game?
After tomorrow?
Yeah.
When you see all these teams lose tomorrow?
Yeah.
That's going to jump by like 100. It's going to be amazing. We'll take a timeout. Kevin Cole joins us at 11:05.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joe, you and I were going through some of the names that declined NIT invitations, and one of them is St. Bonaventure.
Yep.
I'm not as familiar with their particular situation, but I have read a little bit on what some of their fans have said, and they're still a bit confused as to why, other than maybe they just, for whatever reason, didn't want to. But if you follow some of the, and we have a very passionate St. Bonaventure fan base here, I know that. But apparently there's no necessary clarity on why.
Yeah, and seeing them in that list, like, I wonder if their situation is different from other schools. It doesn't have to be, but when you look at the list of declining schools, like, these are big, giant universities and programs, like Arizona State, Cal, Florida State, Indiana, Maryland, Memphis, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Oregon State, Pitt, St. John's, Stanford, Syracuse, UCLA, USC, Washington, and St. Bonaventure. Again, I don't know, it has to be different, or that it has to be more, you know, worthy of criticism. But it is just interesting that of all the schools that decline, like, I do feel like they kind of stick out. Like, they're not, these are giant schools that passed on it, and Bonaventure's, you know, they're not UCLA.
And they had a really nice NIT run a couple years ago. Remember that? When they went to the Final Four?
Right, yeah.
They had a really nice run.
They got to Madison Square Garden,
yes,
right?
Yes, they got there. And that's always been part of the allure, too. You know, you make a run, you get to MSG. Already, by the way, if you take a look, there are already three players from Bonaventure in the transfer portal. There are already two from Syracuse. Kadir Copeland, who I'm upset about because I'm like, this guy's he's good. I like him. Justin Taylor's in there. There is a really good Twitter account if you want to follow the St. Bonaventure, you know, situation with the declining NIT bid. It's at SB Unfurled. I've been kind of reading them, and they're wondering and saying we need answers. And you know, if you want to check that out, I'd invite you to, because again, this is a really evolving situation through all of college sports, especially college basketball right now, the portal, the NIT, these tournaments, what's happening. So it's just it's something that everyone needs to try to wrap their head around, and it's not easy to do that.
I mean, really, because like that would be like schools and like how meaningful it would be to win the NIT. Like, I'm not saying this to be critical or disrespectful to St. Bonaventure, but St. Bonaventure winning the NIT would be really cool.
Yeah.
And the fans would love it. I mean, sure, if Duke played in the NIT, they wouldn't care, right? Like, they would
decline on basis of that's beneath us.
Yeah.
And right. I don't know if that's what Bonaventure's saying. I don't think so here.
Right. Like, UCLA passes, in part because, like, how much would their fans really care about winning the NIT? Again, I'm not saying that to be disrespectful, but St. Bonaventure, like, that would be really cool, and I'm sure the fans would love it if they went to Madison Square Garden, went on a run, and won the NIT. But again, I don't know their situation. Travel costs, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to go across the country, you know, to play at
right.
some other school because of how much it was going to cost.
Yeah, but yet here we go with the ACC adding California teams to travel across the country to play each other.
Right.
I mean... Yeah. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
By the way, this is great. I love this. Thank you. Todd, I know you're listening intently. Thank you for this. Sal, toothpaste back in the tube, not tube back in the toothpaste. Thank you. I screwed that up. You got to reverse it. That's how intently you're listening, Todd, and we appreciate that. Second straight day. You're killing me. Okay. Thank you, Todd. I will try to remember. It is putting the toothpaste back in the tube. Why am I saying tube back in the toothpaste? See? Good job, Todd, for listening. We appreciate that. Hope you listen to our next guest. Kevin Cole joins us on the other side as we roll along here on the Extra Point Show, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.